And once again to your High Gravity Mail edition of the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and today I've got a special guest. This is the gentleman that was so kind, sight unseen, to hook me up in Vegas with his friend. She treated me like a champ. So this is awesome. I've got Race the Priest on the phone, and he is going to tell us some of his covert strategies on text messaging and how he doesn't sprain his thumb and all of that good stuff, because this guy's writing like
thumb yoga. That's
yeah, I guess, man. And apparently, you're writing what, like 5,000 text messages a year or something like that, or more?
A month.
A month?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Good gracious. You know, this is actually pretty interesting, because for the longest time, I was like so anti-text message. I was like, man, dude, you could just pick up the phone and call them and then whatever. But then all of a sudden.
That's exactly how I was when I first started too. I was like, what is this? Why is she just taking forever for her to respond? Why doesn't she just call me?
Yeah, it was so funny, right? And I was really, in the grand scheme of things versus a lot of my friends, I was kind of a late adopter. But it's really interesting, because once I adopted it, it is by far my preferred way to communicate now. Like, to the point now where I don't even think I've checked my voicemail in like 3 weeks.
Me neither, man.
I'm like, if you don't understand that you need to text message me for me to get back to you, then
if you called and didn't get me, send me a text saying, hey, I called. That's all I need.
Yeah. Or just tell me what you need really quick. So give me a chance. I don't want to pick up my, this sounds so bad, but this is a reality. I mean, just going through the day. You know, I'm kind of going, whatever I'm doing, I'm pretty much into. And so if somebody calls, I don't want to stop. I just want to be able to look at my phone, see what you want, and see if it's important enough for me to respond like right then.
Exactly. And I think that's how the whole world is turning, with, you know, all the social media and everyone being so busy and connected and, you know, everywhere. Like, it's funny. I was out at sushi the other day, and I look around me, and at every table, you know, this is where people come to socialize, and yet they're all on their phone, either checking Facebook or sending text messages or status updates. So you got to imagine, like, younger girls, or, you know, girls our age as well, that's their number one way of communicating. So if you don't know how to do it right, you're kind of screwed.
yeah, you're going to get hosed in the process. So
yeah, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you brought up social media, because obviously you have done a lot with that in the past, and you've got something new coming down the road you were just talking about with me earlier on social media. And it's really interesting, because all of this stuff is kind of connected together, I guess you would say. I mean,
Oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I mean, I'll be happy to talk to you about that, you know, when that comes out too, because that's one of the things I'm kind of really good at. I mean, social media and stuff like that. I mean, social media was actually one of the things I was a really early adopter of. So Twitter, like Scott McKay and myself, we owned that site for a long time. And then, you know, it started getting like not cool anymore, so we don't mess with it, but.
Well, so awesome, man. Yeah, we'll talk about it when that's getting closer, and you can add some ideas and thoughts to it. That'd be great.
All right,
cool.
You got going. All right, man. So, all right, let's just go ahead and start this off with the question of all questions. So how do you get somebody's phone number to text? I know how I've done it in the past, where I just give them my phone or get their phone and immediately send a text or something like that. That's how I've usually kind of done it. But what are some of the strategies that you use? Or I don't want to call them strategies sometimes. It kind of sounds sleazy. But, you know, what are the things that you kind of do, your mindsets, that just make it just almost effortless to begin that type of communication?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts out, I have a whole section in the system about how to get a girl's number and what to do, and, you know, how to set up the first text so that she's really comfortable and you know, pretty much ensures she'll respond very favorably. And one of the biggest things that I've noticed when I've, you know, coached guys, or even the mistake that I was making in the beginning when I was getting the girl's number, is I'd always wait to the very end of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, now we're leaving, so can I get your number or something, you know?
Sure.
Not ask for it like that. And, you know, that's really going to shoot you in the foot in a lot of different ways. You know, one, she might get dragged away, as often happens by her friends. You're just like waiting for that time, and then it just never comes, and you miss the opportunity, and you're kicking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or another one is you're nervous the whole time, because you're like, when should I ask? And so, you know, you're not really in the moment with her anymore, so you're missing out on all the cues, and she can sense it. And there's, you know, several other reasons why just waiting to the end is, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's definitely not the best way.
Sure.
I found it's, you know, you're out, you're having fun, you're being flirty with a girl, you're having a good time, and the question I ask myself is this someone I'd want to see again? And that's the first question I ask. And when I answer that, I go like, yeah, this girl will probably be fun to hang out with in other situations. And that's the moment when I go, okay, now it's time to get her number. So, you know, I pick something fun, like, for example, you ever had hookah before? Whether she has or not. So she says, yeah, I'd be like, oh, awesome. I know this best, you know, this coolest hookah place. We should, you should grab some hookah next week. Here, let me get your number.
Right.
It's very simple like that, you know, and getting a number after you've already set a date helps so much. Number one, because it makes sense why you get the number. It's a logistical tool to meet up. It's like, oh, okay, of course. She agreed to go on the date. She's like, yeah, hookah sounds great. Oh, okay, let's exchange numbers. Then it's like, it takes away all that worry of like, why am I giving this guy my number? Is he going to text me all the time? Or, is this someone I'm not going to answer? Because she already said, yeah, I want to go on a date. So it's like, duh, here's my number. Uh-huh. And the other great thing about it is the majority of guys spend the first, you know, 5, 10, 15 texts trying to figure out a time when they can set a date. When it's already accomplished, when you've already set the date beforehand, and now you can just have fun and be flirty until that date arrives.
Right. Yeah, I like that because basically what you're doing is, I've said this in the past, you know, just on the blog, that basically getting the phone number before getting the date, oftentimes it's kind of tough because then you have to, once you call her, you kind of have to rebuild a lot of the things that you had going on when you met, and you have to build that up.
Exactly.
And, yeah, when is if you just go ahead and go for it and it's not even to me, I'm thinking, say, like you were positioning, it's not saying, hey, you want to go on a date. Most of the time, the easiest way I've found to do something like that is to just include her in something that you're already going to do. So there's no like perceived reciprocity that she has to kind of, you know, bring to the table. Like if you buy a girl a drink, a lot of times, if you do it the wrong way, she kind of understands that if she accepts the drink, there's some sort of time that she has to spend with you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But it's the same way. If you're kind of going out of your way to take this person on a date from the very get-go, there's kind of a little bit of this pushback, but if you're already going to do it, just kind of like you were saying, it's like, yeah, there's this great place I've been wanting to try. You're going to do it one way or another.
Yeah. And oftentimes I'll invite her to a group thing. Just be sure. Like, hey, me and my friends are going to go grab, you know, we're going to the Suka place next week. And, you know, so there's no pressure as well. So exactly. And, you know, I tell her she can bring her friends. And that's great. And then I get to meet more people and maybe hook up my friends. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes fun. And then it's a very non-pressure way of hanging out again. And that's, you know, that's all you want to do is create the opportunity to spend more time with her so you can see if this is something you want to pursue.
Yeah, you brought something up that I've been talking about over the last probably week or two, and that's the idea of the fun framework and kind of being the source of fun. And I think a lot of guys really, really miss that whole kind of, I guess, I don't want to say end game, but that whole mentality, because, you know, ultimately that's what people want to do. They want to have fun. You know, if you have a conversation with a girl and you get ready to leave, she doesn't say, all right, bye. She says, hey, I had fun talking to you, or I had fun tonight, or it's already there. And so a lot of guys just, they're not focused on any fun at all. They're focused on something else.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why it's funny you say that. The kind of my philosophy, I named it funstigation. Mm-hmm. It's instigating fun wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Because people go out, they're not out at a bar. Well, there's different reasons why they're out, but one of the major ones is they're trying to find a good fun time. Mm-hmm. And I always find it funny when people go out to a bar and they're like, oh, this bar was no fun, so we need to go to a different one. Well, no, it's not usually that. It's just you're not fun or having fun, because any bar that I go to, I have a blast because I'm there.
Yeah.
And I help create that for other people, and it's just so very attractive, and it makes it so easy to meet people.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned kind of that. I always think of it as, you know, you kind of have to be the enabler because nobody else is going to do it.
Agreed. We're all lazy. We're all looking for someone else to create a fun time for us.
Yeah, and then all it takes is one person to kind of, it's like a bottle of, like a pressurized bottle of something. And all you have to do is be the person that just gets the thing going, and all of a sudden it's like boom, everybody kind of relaxes and allows themselves to have a good time, and nobody is like judging anybody because everybody's being stupid or having fun or whatever it is. And then next thing you know, it's a riot, and you know, you started it, so you're the man. So it's
exactly, that's a great analogy. And then it's like easy for to get everyone's number there.
Oh,
now
yeah.
You have a whole bunch of new friends and a whole new bunch of new girls that you can set up, you know, four or five dates the next day, and from one just having fun at one small bar.
Yeah, you just go, hey, we're doing this next week. You want in? Of course they want in.
Yeah, of course they do. They got a great setup.
All right, so going now to the next thing, because you've got her number, you're ready to text. You send her a text, and you get the mythical, who is this?
the dreaded who is.
Yeah, it is. It's so funny. I tell you, man, I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter if it's a guy or girl. When you get that message, it just comes back. It stings, man.
Yeah, I used to be so like, oh no, but yeah, over time I figured different ways to deal with it, and I have a whole section on that in the system as well, and ways to prevent that in the first place. Mm-hmm. For example, like, you know, there's a whole section about it's better to exchange than receive, like make sure your name's in there, like fun ways to add nicknames in while you're exchanging numbers, so that when you send that text and it pops up and there's a fun nickname or something, she recalls all the fun conversation and fun time that you had, so instantly she gets a smile and of course she's going to respond. So there's a lot of ways to prevent it that I have in the system as well. But even so, I get it sometimes too. Like I was out and I got these two promo girls' numbers and they were just leaving as I was walking in. So I didn't expect them to really remember me. So I got the who is this text. And yeah, I just come up with a couple different ways. What you really want to do with the who is this text is not just answer it so that they can be like, oh, whatever. You want to make them go from who is this to I want to know who this is. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this person's interesting. Now I really want to know, not just I want a name. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, I put in four or five different ways, like, and some examples, real life off my phone so people can see. One of them, I go, well, this is Prince Charming, duh.
And they're right.
Like, okay, but, you know, if they're fun, they'll jump into it. Like this one girl was like, well, then where have you been my whole life?
Right.
And it just started a fun role play. Another one, what I do, your future ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
That always gets them laughing. And, or, you know, I make fun of myself in it. I was like, oh, this is Race. You met me the other night. I was that boring guy who stood in the corner. Just kidding. Yeah. Just make fun of myself. And it just becomes far more intriguing because most people, you know, most guys, who is this? You're just like, hey, it's Race from the other night. And they're like, oh.
Like now what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it becomes now an opportunity to really start a fun, playful role play other than allow them to just lose interest.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you said that because I was, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about it. I mean, this is just another opportunity to, I mean, because if you, it's kind of like popping a balloon. As soon as you give your name, I mean,
exactly. There's all the curiosity satisfied. Move on.
Yeah, it's done. I mean, there's nothing to figure out anymore. There's no game because there's always a game of trying to figure things out. I mean, everybody is kind of, it's the Zagarnik effect. And I don't know if you've ever talked about this, but it's basically the cliffhanger effect. Same thing with, waitresses and stuff like that. I mean, it's a proven fact that waitresses that memorize orders. So as long as that order hasn't been completed yet and she hasn't brought the food out, she'll remember it. But as soon as that order is complete, she'll forget it.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right, so it's basically the people remember unfinished business. That's why multitasking is such a bad idea because, you know what I mean? Because you've got all these things just hanging on. But that's exactly what it is. You've got this kind of cliffhanger that she's going to keep you on her mind as long as this thing is going on. But as soon as you solve the problem or she solves the problem, you know, and if it's early on, then yeah, it makes sense. She's just kind of going to forget.
Yeah. That's at the beginning of any budding relationship. There has to be a constant building of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you don't stay around. I mean, someone you're not curious about, who is this person? Oh, that was very intriguing. Like I want to know more. As soon as you lose that, you know, you move on.
Yeah.
So it's crucial in the beginning.
Yeah, it's how you lay the foundation of it is how you're going to be perceived for a while, it seems like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's why in the whole section on, sending the first text, you know, one of the three major components that it has to have is start a fun and playful vibe that's going to set you apart.
Okay.
It really sets the foundation for a really enjoyable interaction.
Gotcha. So when do you usually send your first one? I know a lot of guys are probably curious about that. Okay, I got her number. Now what?
The latest will be the next day, like the next morning. I'll wake up, out of whatever drunken stupor I was in the night before. And I'll, you know, reach in my pockets and, you know, pull out the napkins. I actually don't like taking it in my phone. A lot of guys do. That's fine. I exchange in unwritten napkins and stuff just because it's more fun. You can draw hearts and draw pictures and just becomes more fun for me. But, so I wake up and I, you know, I send out the text right then.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So pretty quickly, it's like, you know, a lot of guys have this like whatever 3-day rule or whatever rule they might want to have. It's nowadays that the way things are moving, you just got to strike while the iron's hot, man.
Yeah, I don't think the, yeah, you wait 2-3-4 days. I mean, by that time, she's already gotten 15 other guys texting her.
Texting her, exactly. She's already given her number out the last two nights that she went out to several other guys.
Yeah, that's interesting too that you mentioned that, because I guess what I'm finding nowadays, just kind of through conversations, is that women are a lot less kind of protective of their phone number nowadays, especially cell phones, and it seems, or even email addresses a lot of times, you would think that, you know, it would be more so, they'd be more protective, but it's just kind of like, it's almost like candy a lot of times, so.
Yeah, no, agreed. They've learned the art of ignoring. it's easier, it's like, instead of like, they don't want to be mean sometimes. They just be like, okay, yeah, here it is. And know that instant that they're never going to text you or call you.
Yeah.
Or respond to your text, and then they just ignore it. I mean, I'm hanging out with so many girls, and they're like, why doesn't this guy get the clue? I haven't responded to him in 3 text messages. I don't want to talk to him. And I'm like, ouch. But, you know, I was like, in my mind, I want to say, like, we shouldn't have given him your number. But, you know, there's other things going on, and I cover all those kind of mindsets that women have when they're giving you their number and how to counteract them. Like the one, is this guy going to be bothering me all the time, or am I doing this just to be nice?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because I don't know many women that are really comfortable being bitchy.
Yeah. And it's funny thing. We don't have to deal with that. How often do we have girls asking us for our number? So if it was a girl, well, you know, but I mean, it's not so common for most guys that so many girls are asking for the number that, you know, one girl that you're like, I probably don't ever want to hang out with her again, where we'd say, no, I don't give out money, you know? So yeah. We're not used to being put in that position, so we don't know what it feels like.
Yeah, the only way I can relate to that would be like when you lose your cell phone or something like that, and you have to, you know, or you get a new phone number or something, and, you know, people, like, you connect with somebody again that you had their number before, and you're like, I really don't want their number again. And they're like, oh, yeah, put my number back in your phone. And you're like, shit.
And, yeah, and you're picking through your contacts who you're going to send out your new number to. Uh-huh. Hey, I got a new number. And you're like, yes. Pass.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so what about – so we've got the who is this text kind of covered a little bit. The next thing that a lot of guys are really, really, really concerned with is flaking, and, you know, flaking through text. You know, how do you prevent it? How do you, you know, what are some of the mentalities that she's thinking, why she's flaking, you know, that types of thing.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about the system is that I designed it in progression like that. So I put in like 17 different ways that you can avoid flaking before it ever happens. Like literally, like specific techniques or ways of being, ways of setting up the date, so it really becomes so comfortable for her, and the easiest thing. It counteracts any kind of resistance she might have, which is completely normal, and just make it so easy so that by the time you set up the date, it's like she's excited to hang out with you. She's thinking you're the best possible option for her that night. Out of all the other people that are inviting her out, she wants to hang out with you. So then you're not going to get a flake. But even so, sometimes it still happens. So in my section on flaking, I'll tell you one thing. I used to get flaked on, you know, pretty regularly because I wasn't doing a lot of the things that are in the system when I first was starting. And, you know, the first thing I would do is take it very personal. And that always just ruined it from the beginning. So, you know, I was the girl that was really excited about hanging out with her. I spent all week thinking about it, and then bam, flake. And I was just crushed. I was like, this is so rude. That is so mean. And, you know, I want to send the text like, hey, what happened to you? You know, either become either needy or a little defensive. And in both cases, never get met up with her again. And so, first thing I learned, don't take it personal. There's a lot of things going on. If this is especially like your first date, guess what? You're not the most important thing in her life yet, and you shouldn't be, nor should she be in yours. You haven't spent much time with her.
Right.
So don't take it personal. And, you know, so I found ways to just make it more fun. Like, one of my favorite things is, if it's someone I've gone out with before and she ends up flaking, you know, start off with, like, no worries, because it's not a big deal. The thing is, you know, I also talk about how to be more prepared. Like, so if some girl does flake, then, you know, just like we were talking about earlier, if it's just something you're already doing, then it's not that big a deal. You're already out with other friends. You might have already invited other girls, in fact. So you're having fun regardless. So it really is no worries. It becomes no worries. And my favorite is nowadays I go, it's no big deal. But guess who owes me a delicious bottle of wine? Yep, you do. And it's fun because the cool thing is the girl does feel bad when she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. There's a thing where she wants to, you know, some girls have done that. They felt so bad that they just felt embarrassed and never talked to me again.
Right.
And so you don't want that to happen. This really will happen. And so by allowing her to make it up to you, it's kind of like, oh, that's a relief. I know what I'm doing to make it better. Cause you know, our psychology is based around reciprocity. Do something for me, I'll do something for you. If I do something negative, I feel like I should make up for it. So, and it subtly says like, hey, no worries. It's not a big deal. But also my time's kind of valuable. So you owe me a bottle of wine.
Right.
And it becomes awesome because now she's even more committed to the next date because she has to bring something to it. She already knows you're going to have wine. Which sets the mood. It is a lot of really cool things that go on with that. And it could be anything. You could be, I often say cheese and crackers because that's like my favorite snack of all time.
Gotcha.
And it also assumes that you're probably going to meet somewhere where you can have that wine, which might be at your house or something. So there's a lot of things that go on with that, and I found it to be very helpful.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's so true that you really don't know what's going on in people's lives. And, I mean, you start sending text messages or start calling her, and next thing you know, you found out her uncle died or something, and then you feel like a jack.
Seriously happened to me today. This girl was supposed to meet up, and it turns out that her dad was in the hospital. She had to go visit him, so she's in the hospital, and that's why we're not hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, and you're taking it all personal and everything like that, and you start texting and getting all needy, and she's got enough going on in her life at that time, and she's just like, you know what, man, this ain't worth it. I already got enough. And so not only do you have that, she was feeling bad, but what just happened is you gave her an excuse to not feel bad anymore. So you you let her off the hook by being an ass.
Brilliant insight, man. That's exactly right.
You know, so that's kind of cool. So I like the way you kind of position that as far as, hey man, no big deal, but you know, I like that because you're kind of I don't want to say training people, but I say it all the time. I firmly believe that you train people how to treat you. And,
oh, absolutely.
And your boundaries are there are certain things you're going to put up with, certain things you won't. And you're kind of, I guess the kind of subconscious layer that's underneath that is, you know, hey, you flaked on me or whatever. It's not that big of a deal, but you still kind of owe me. And you'll be surprised who steps up, but you'll also be surprised at who doesn't. And the best thing about that is it's like, you can weed through people like that. If they don't step up, chances are you didn't want to spend time with them anyway. So good riddance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely with that.
Cool, man. So, all right. So what are some of these mindsets that guys need to know about? I mean, we've talked about the fun. I mean, I think if you go with the fun route, I mean, that's probably the one that you can't.
Yeah, I agree. That's the most important one. You got to see it as fun and playful.
Yeah.
Another one is, really to have your end goal in mind. A lot of guys, and myself included when I started, I was having so much fun texting. Well, it was the validation that I got back. When a girl would write back, I felt like good about myself, so I'd want to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I never had the end goal in mind, and that should always be to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's other things. There's a lot of things you can do with text, and I put them all in there about building, you know, attraction, making a connection, building sexuality, all of that you can do. But the end goal is meeting up, because what's the point if you're just text buddies for the rest of your life? You want to meet up. So with that goal in mind, a lot of guys, they wait way too long to set the date and really meet up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's have the fun, but also have your goal in mind. Another one would be is send it and forget it. I can't tell you how many times when I was trying new things, especially in the text to sex section where I'm, you know, trying to sexualize the conversation a little bit, and I send out something and I was so nervous. I was like, oh no, I just blew it. I ruined it. This is over. What am I thinking? And then, you know, a minute later I get back this awesome text from her and I'm like, yeah, but I was so worried. so worried the whole time. And it's just, so another principle is just really send it and forget it.
Right.
And stop worrying about it the whole time. Go on with your life and just know she'll get back with you. She doesn't, don't worry. There's contingency plans that I have in the system as well, like how to re-engage. So that was a huge one for me. It's just really send it, forget about it.
Yeah, let it fly. Yeah, don't, hey man, did you get my last text?
Exactly. Then you get nervous and you're like, oh, they didn't respond. I've screwed it. I need to send another one to re-engage them. Oh, I need to do another one. Just,
yeah, I've had buddies do that. Cause I'm always getting hit up when we go to bars and stuff like that by friends. They're like, dude, you know how to do this stuff. What do I do now, man? And I'm like, you don't do nothing. You just sit there.
Exactly. Yeah. They knew the foundation of the
last one. Maybe I should text her again. Like, yeah, if you don't want her to show up.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, kind of having someone over your shoulder, even if it's just a system or kind of, you know, they can pretend like you are sitting on their shoulder going, and they can go, hey, what would Race do? What's the system do? Oh yeah, he'd be yelling my face right now about, you know, texting this girl again. So even something like that actually helps, because most guys, they just get, and I've done it, and you said you've done it. You just kind of get, like, antsy.
Yeah, because you want to be, like, until she texts back, you're the last one to have sent it. So you're like, oh, crap, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sometimes the best course of action is just let it be. Let it simmer for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's interesting you mentioned simmer, because one of the things I do like about Texans is that you can control the flow of the conversation. And that is awesome with women a lot of times, even with guys too, like guys, you really, you know, you're just kind of trying to blow off. I mean, you can stretch out this conversation. So, cause a lot of times what will happen is, like, you know, in the past, I remember, girls would, like you text them and then all of a sudden they text you right back. And then you could wait like 5 to 10, 12, 15 minutes or whatever, text them back. And then they text you right back. So, you know, right then that they're like, they got their phone in front of their face. Yeah. It's like right there. And so you're kind of, for lack of a better term, winning. I don't like using that term really, but if we were going to classify it like that. So what about, do you have anything about that?
Yeah, there's a whole section about mirroring and really being able to tell by how quickly a girl responds, how much she's writing a response. You know, a lot of guys fall into the trap of, she wrote back twice, so now I want to write more and more and more. And you'll see her messages get shorter and shorter, and his get longer and longer. Mm-hmm. And you can just see who, as you say, winning, but who is more in control of how the interaction. It's like it becomes out of balance.
Sure.
And so someone is the one who's being far more pursued instead of it being an equal exchange, like back and forth of, I want to see you, I want to see you. Mm-hmm. This is fun. I want to be in it. It becomes, whoa, this, someone's putting in way more effort than me. And that's when it gets out of balance. So there's the checks and balances that I go through, and that so that you can bring it back and get back to where it's even again, and then build it together.
Mm-hmm.
So you come together and it's awesome.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I like texting. Like I said, I mean, we've talked about it in the past. It's, I don't know, man. It's to me, and even with my girl, it can get naughty really fast.
Definitely.
You know, and I know a lot of the guys that are listening, they want to know about that. That's what they want to know. They want to know how to get naughty and basically set the first date up so that, you know, it's pretty much on from the get-go.
Oh, dude, there's almost nothing as fun as, you know, getting naughty text back and forth and seeing a girl, when you put something out there, her hook onto it and take it one step further, and you're like, oh, okay, so that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. So that's actually probably my favorite section, and it's the longest section, is the final one, text to sex. And I go through all of the reasons why texting is such a great tool to build a girl's sexual arousal and to get her thinking naughty about you.
Right.
And the cool thing is I put in a lot of techniques that I learned from girls that sending over to try and get me interesting enough. And so, but the cool thing is they're very subtle at the get-go. So like you can always opt out, because I know a lot of guys are afraid, and I was too, like I said, sending out those first naughty texts. I was like, oh, I've ruined it. There's no way. I think she's going to be creeped out or freaked out. And it turns out it was awesome. And so it's scary to just jump into that if that's something you've never done, but you have to for several reasons. One, if you never build the sexual attraction, or you show never show your interest. One, she's going to think you're lying because she knows you're into her and thinks she can't trust you, or that you're weak because you can't say what you want. Or two, she really will think you're not interested and move on. So you have to do it, and that's why that section is so important. But the cool thing is the way the kind of techniques I developed allow you to gauge her interest first and always opt out if she's like doesn't hook onto it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, and you can try again later. It never so it has the appearance where it can be like, ooh, that could be naughty, but I don't know. And then
right.
you can tell if she's into it because she'll jump on it.
Right.
And it allows you, you know, the hook out where she's like, oh, you're whatever. And you'd be like, what? I was talking about this. And then
sure.
she'll laugh, and then you can do it again later, and she sees the pattern, and it just becomes really fun. But
right.
it's a much easier way to jump in.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes like I say, all this stuff makes a lot of sense. It's it's interesting, especially when you start talking about, you know, taking it to that point. From one thing that I want to hook on to what you were just saying is the fact that if you're not, I call it flirting relentlessly. Just basically almost balls to the wall flirting. Not like just hitting on her like you're a dirty old man, but just flirting relentlessly. You know, it's kind of like because that's fun for girls. That's really fun. I did a little experiment. I talked about this the other day where I was out in a bar and, you know, I got talked to a couple girls and, you know, we got talking about, you know, my girlfriend, their boyfriends, and I wasn't flirting at all. I was just like friend zone for real, right? We go downstairs and these two girls who had just got finished telling me how they love their boyfriends were getting hit on like mad women by these two guys, and they were enjoying the hell out of it. I mean, left me in the dust. I was like, damn. Yeah. And so I was just like, it was just kind of like a little experiment just to see what would happen. But I knew it. I was like, man, women go out to get hit on or flirted with by cool guys. And that's
it feels good. It feels good on both sides. Like,
yeah.
Feel like you're desirable and wanted and people like, it's a huge compliment.
Sure. And so if you're not flirting, she can almost take it as an insult.
Kind of, yeah. Honestly, it's saying, like, am I not that interesting? Am I not that desirable? I'm not someone you want to have fun with?
Or even worse, she'll think you're gay.
Yeah.
I had that happen a long time ago, man. Oh, God, let me tell you. I don't think I've ever told this story. This is interesting. So, this was years ago. But I ended up going to this one girl's house, and I wasn't sure if I was into her or not. I was just like, man, I got nothing better to do. You know what I mean? This was my nothing better to do date, right? So I feel so bad for saying that, but whatever. Nobody will know who it is, so that's cool. So I basically took over a bottle of tequila, which is always bad news.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we're sitting there watching this basketball game. I think it was like Final Four or something like that. And, you know, I'm just sitting there going, I don't know, man. I don't know. And, you know, about halfway through the bottle, I'm like, you know what, man? I don't know. it's probably been like 2-3 hours into it, and I finally reach over and kiss her, right? And so I go from the beginning being like, I don't know, to being like, you know what, screw it. And then she looks at me dead serious.
I'm shocked, huh?
Dead serious, and goes, well, I was wondering when you were going to do that. I was thinking you were gay or something. And
that's
I was
so
like,
true.
I was like, what the hell, man? I'm sitting here not interested in you, and you're thinking I'm gay. That's messed up, man. But that's kind of the way it was. And so it's really funny. Like you say, you're talking about that. It just, oh man, that's a funny story. But, okay. So talk about some of the more, what are some of the frameworks you work within when you're talking about this text to sex type of stuff? Is there something that you basically start with, like maybe something just really innocent that can be taken both ways, or do you just kind of come out of the gate just full force, or, you know, what are some of the things that you think about when you're actually kind of seeding that interaction with that type of thing?
Oh, well, one of my favorite techniques, which is a more of a jump in, but the way it works is, you know, I've had so many great interactions thanks to it. It's the dirtiest dream technique.
Ooh.
And that's actually in the report that is out right now. And it starts off with like, this is a girl you got to kind of know, but this is great if you want to get out of the friend zone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Send a text and said, I had the dirtiest dream about you last night.
Oh.
And, you know, girls are going to be like, the curiosity level on that is just so high. And so when she responds, yeah, what was it about? Or something like that. She's like, yeah, we were, hanging out together, and we ended up mud wrestling. It was so dirty.
There you go.
And so it's the misdirection, but then the thing is, if she's into that and start laughing, and then you can curve it back around. And I have this huge example in the system where I curve it back around from, you know, I built up that tension, like, ooh, what is he going to talk about? Relieved it because it's misdirection, and then build it up again because I'm like, yeah, we were out camping in the woods and it was raining, and I pushed you up against the tree, and, you know, I go into all this other stuff. And so then it builds it back up, but it's way stronger this time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can all gauge it along the way, so you can see it which way or another. But regardless, after the first text, she's already thinking, what? Dirtiest dreams, what would it be like to do something with this guy?
Yeah.
And so it's a very sneaky, very fun, and very playful technique.
Exactly, man. I follow you completely, because at some point, she's got to think about getting in the sack with you.
She has to. If she hasn't imagined it, then you might as well move on.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you might as well go for it from the get-go, I guess you could say.
So. I mean, there's less invasive ways to do it too. Like, there's
sure.
One where it's just like, did I just catch you outside my window with binoculars or something? You know?
Right.
You know, just funny, playful, like stalker, and then you can get into, you know, then you can progress it easier. So it's a fun little thing, because most girls will be like, yeah, I was stalking you or whatever, and be like, yeah, so, you know, and then you start getting into you about changing clothes and stuff, and so she's imagining you naked, and you can build up from there. And I give examples on how to create your own in that whole section. So
right.
And there's, you know, little innuendos you can throw in all the time. So I go over a whole section on how to create sexual innuendos and throw them in, pepper them in your conversation, because they're all just little sexual hooks that allow her to be like, wait a minute, this could be something sexual, and then allows her to bring out her naughty side, and becomes really, really fun, as you well know, as you mentioned earlier.
Sure.
And also, by the time you meet up, I mean, if you've built up all these ideas and fantasies, then by the time you meet up on your next date, it won't be long before you're jumping in the bed.
Yeah, you got a cheap date plan. I mean, basically, you got a plan for, you know, dinner and drinks or whatever, and you might just get drinks and head out.
Yeah, absolutely, because she's been thinking about it this whole time. It's pretty much like she's already done it.
Yeah.
Because an imagined memory and a real memory aren't too far apart in the human mind, so mm-hmm. She's thinking, yeah, I want to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it could be so bad that you could actually continue the conversation as soon as you see her. Something like, so am I a little bit cleaner than you imagined me last time, or something like that? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And then next thing you know, you've jumped right in back into that conversation, that same frame, that same just kind of context, where all of a sudden it just everything you've been talking about. It's almost like I don't study a lot of NLP, but it's almost like a what are the things called when you like put your hand on an anchor? It's almost like an anchor. Like you've already that anchor's already been set, so you just bring it back up and bam, she's back in that thought.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. She runs through those again, all those feelings that are associated with it, and you're good to go.
That's funny, man. Yeah, you mentioned the whole fact about basically flipping the script on her, where you're sending a text. Like, basically, I just call it accusing her of stuff in a fun way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, everybody knows about. I mean. Guys, if you're listening to this and you go out on a date and you're at a bar and you have not accused a girl of getting you drunk, you need to do it. That is
absolutely.
That is like basic. You got to do it. That's like the number one thing you have to do at some point. If she asks you if you want another drink, you have to. It is required by law. You have to say, oh, my God, sweetheart, are you trying to get me drunk?
That's so perfect.
Yep. And so take it from that, and you can accuse. Like, just like you were saying, man, in text. I mean, are you out?
Even walking in front of a girl, you can just be like, are you looking at my ass? Cut it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that's awesome that you actually brought that up about text message. I hadn't even thought about that, but I could see that being really, really, really powerful as well. So what, let's see some of these questions, see if there's anything else, other than, you know, the sexual kind of stuff. All right, I guess we kind of went into the one, you know, ask race what the best way to construct a text message with women where you can get them comfortable enough to skip the date altogether and come straight to your house. I mean, that's pretty ballsy, but I like it.
I mean, it's a fantastic question. I think if you use all the, like, majority of the principles we just talked about, that is a very viable possibility. You know, you start talking, you get the flirtiness going, you set the date right, And it could be something over at your house. Like for me, I'm always like, oh, come over for some hookah. That's directly at my house. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go out anywhere. Or it might be drinks at a bar that's literally right down the street. So it's just easy to come back to your place. Right. And if you add in the sexuality stuff, man, it's just, it's game over. Of course, she's going to feel not only comfortable because you've used all the principles that I talk about in setting the date where you, you know, overcome all any kind of objections she might have had before she even has them. So that it's just like, this is so easy. Of course, this is what I'm going to do. It's mm-hmm. the best possible option. And then add excitement and arousal to that. Then it's like, yeah, I not only feel comfortable, I feel safe. I'm excited to meet up with them, and I'm really kind of looking forward to some action occurring. Then coming over to your house, no problem.
Yeah, that's game time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, logistics are important. You don't hear a lot of people talking about that, but you know the whole – it's really funny. Like you can – let's say you're at a bar, you meet somebody, or you meet somebody here or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of time where that person can, you can say, all right, you know, let's go, you know, let's take off, let's go to my place or whatever. I mean, if that's an hour drive or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of time where that whole mentality can change.
Yeah.
You know, and people start second guessing and stuff like that. Not saying
that's why I personally would have got the number and set up a date, got the number and then try to get it over another time, because mm-hmm. that's just, you're just trying too many odds, and then I'd be texting another girl to meet me at my house.
Yeah, no, that's kind of true, man. It's like, I was talking to Bill the other day, and we were kind of talking about it, but you mentioned it earlier about getting, you know, go ahead and getting the number as almost as fast as you can. But because, I mean, you don't know. I mean, I know a lot of guys, their whole thing is to meet one girl and try to stick on her as long as they can. You know, and then try to, okay, so I've finally met a girl in a bar or wherever it is, and I'm going to just stick on her until she tells me to go away or she comes home to my house. and essentially what, you know, you're missing out on all the other cool people that could be there at the same time that may be even more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always come back and revisit. Same thing with the text thing. I mean, if you got five girls' numbers, the next thing you know, you've had a good interaction with two of them, and one of them was like really cool. I mean, you could send her a text and be like, hey, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just a way to maximize your time. And for me, that's just what I like to do. I like to have the most fun, meet the most amount of people, and really maximize my time. So I have no problem going to a bar and meeting a bunch of girls and not worrying about going home with one of them. Probably already have one meeting up later or who's already at the bar with me. And then just setting up those dates for the next week, and then, bam, I have – four or five dates where they're all just coming straight over to my house and we're hanging out, and I really get to see if I like them in a much more relaxed environment, one that's much more conducive to if we want to sleep together. Mm-hmm. It's just so much better that way for me. That's how I like to set up my dating life, and it's been very successful.
Gotcha. Really cool, man. A lot of the questions that have come in are basically how should you ask her to hang out? How do you direct transition? What do you say to break the ice?
Well, do the transition one. That's a, you know, he's like, I think I read it on the blog. He's saying when you're talking about something boring and you want to transition to something else.
Sure.
Yeah. There's these little phrases that I like to call mm-hmm. shocking transitional phrases. And they're very simple. You can just be like, you know what I was thinking? Send that in a text. Guess what? She's going to say what? Now you can change it to whatever topic you want.
There you go.
Something very simple like that. Or, you know, that it's just so simple. And people just feel like, oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. How do I change it? And this is the same thing in real life when you're out talking to somebody. You know, if you don't even know what to say or you want to change the subject, you just be like, you know, what I was thinking, or I got to tell you, you know, things like that. And people, those are little things that people go, oh, what? It's like there's something you already had planned, or, you know, there's something interesting coming up. And it really just changes the conversation, creates a little bit of a vacuum for them to be like, oh, what? What were we going to say? Because I had this girl I was dating, her dad would always go, Race, I got to tell you. And you know what? He would have said that no matter what sentence he was saying, but mm-hmm. every time it made me go, oh, what? He's got to tell me something. This is, and he said my name. This is important.
Yeah.
But that was just his way of talking. And it was so engaging that every time he said it, I thought he had something very cool and specific to me. And it was the same sentence he would have said no matter what. And yes. So nice. You can really use small little transitional phrases like that to take control of the conversation and change it however you want, and buy yourself some time.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this, because you brought up name. I have no experience with this or even tested it one way or another. Maybe you have, but do you find it better to actually include someone's name in a text or not?
You know, I actually haven't done a lot of work with that either. I oftentimes call a girl woman, listen here, woman.
Gotcha.
This is kind of be like a little more sassy, but, I don't, you know what? I really haven't done any testing with that. In person, it's definitely very effective.
Sure.
Because anyone loves hearing their own name. So, you know what? It probably does, because I remember when I get texts from girls and they put my name in it, I'm like, it makes me pay a little more attention. Because even reading my own name, hearing my, like, you could be talking with someone, someone says your name across the room, and you were not listening to their conversation. You're like, huh? What? Someone's talking about me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, using someone's name is very powerful.
Yeah, so, awesome. Yeah, I don't know. You just mentioned something about that, him saying your name, and I was like, huh, I wonder if that would actually be a, you know, some sort of personalization in the text where, you know, next thing you know, if it's more effective or not, or like I said, I have no idea. I do the same thing when I text. I usually use woman or Missy or, listen up, Missy.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I mean, just using pet names, so to say. But
yeah, a huge section all on nicknames, how to create them, how to use them effectively, different categories of ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. The one thing about nicknames that we didn't even talk about is the fact that chicks, like, when they talk to their friends, they give you a nickname. It's not like I met Race at the bar. So I met, you know, Cowboy Man at the bar. Or I met,
yeah, it's just like Sex in the City.
Yeah, it's really funny, man. Like every girl I've ever met, it's always like whatever characteristic about you. It's almost like getting a caricature done of yourself. You know, when they pick out like the worst thing possible about you and they blow it up. It's kind of like the same thing. They might pick the best thing, but that's the thing they talk about, and that's how they remember you. So that's interesting that you brought that up. Okay, so here's one that I kind of don't do it, but what are some of the things? Do you have any restarters? Like, say, if you've kind of lost contact with somebody or anything like that. I mean, what's kind of your strategy with that?
Dude, got it covered. Like I said, I spent over 2 years putting this system together, and I try to think of every possible thing I could. So I have a whole section in there as well on re-engaging text when a girl drops off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really frustrating. You know, you think you have something going really good, the conversation's great, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere she drops off the face of the earth. And you're like, what did I do? But once again, you can't take it personal. But oftentimes it's things way out of your control that occurred. But I have it was funny because as I was putting that section together, I was teaching a group of about five guys in New York, that whole section. I was like, in fact, pull out your phones right now. We're going to try an experiment. And I had them all pull out their phone and text a girl that hasn't either responded to the last three texts or in the last 3 months. So those are the criteria. So they all pick a girl on their phone, and I have them send out an exact text that's actually in the system that you can use right now. And I had them all send it out. And every single one of them got a response back within the first minute. And I was like shocked. I was like, I didn't even know it was going to work that good.
Right.
So yeah, there's definitely some principles that go into it, like really engaging her curiosity again, and making it fun and playful. Like one of them, what was one of them? I have to remember. I haven't looked at it in a while. I know one. Oh, I just did one recently about, what happened to you. You get abducted by aliens. Hopefully it was the, cute Brad Pitt guy, not the scary green ones. Text me when they send you back or something like that. And,
right.
You know, most girls do that and they're like, ha, like it's so fun. And they respond immediately. Or another one where it's like, I just figured out, which celebrity you remind me of.
Right.
Then people just want to know, like, who, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's our whole ego thing. It's like the ego character. It's like, we want to know what people are thinking about us at all times.
Right. So basically in most of your texts that you're talking about, you're basically engaging curiosity in a big way.
In a huge way, yeah.
Yeah, in a big way. I mean, so the whole text thing just goes, hey, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much engaging as something that's set your personality aside and also engages their curiosity about what you think about them.
Gotcha. And it gives you more kind of open space to go with the conversations as well. If you kind of go, hey, and they write back, hey, it's like, all right, now what?
Exactly. So that's a great point. If they haven't responded in a while and you send that out, you know, they're more likely to respond because they are getting texts that are, hey, And right off the bat, you know what to say next. Like, you have a whole little line of conversation. So that's a really good point you brought up.
So that would actually probably be a good way to kind of restart, is just think of the most random thing you could think of, just like you were saying about the aliens or whatever. Think of something really random and just say, you know, get back to me. And then all of a sudden, let that one go.
You just got to make sure that it engages them personally. Because as a bad example, actually, we just got an email from one of the girls that works with us, and a guy was texting her who was taking someone else's boot camp and sending like random texts like, I have a Smurf infestation in my house. What should I do? And it's like, that has nothing to do with her. So she obviously was like, didn't respond and didn't want to, because it had no connection to her personally. And it has to have that element. So, and I break down all those elements so guys can really create their own re-engaging texts, which I'm looking forward to hearing some of them so I can start using them.
There you go. You know, it's really interesting. We'll close it out in just a second, but I'll see. I know exactly why that one didn't work. It's because, like, women and people in general are attracted to problem solvers. So if you can't solve your own problem of Smurf infestation, I mean, if you can't get that handled, come on, man. What can you?
Come on, they're small and blue. What?
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
so difficult.
You got golf clubs, go at it. that's one of the key things, man. I would think, and maybe you've got this covered, but I don't think you should probably use text messaging to actually ask her to solve a problem for you.
Like, oh, absolutely not.
You know, you're basically using it as a tool of fun and not as a tool of, I mean, because if you're getting her in problem solving mode, that totally kind of flips the whole mentality of what's going on.
So, yeah. It becomes a lot more logical than emotional. And so it's a lot harder to make a connection and, build attraction when it's all logical.
Yeah, I mean, now if we're talking about something, somebody different, like a true friend, I mean, yeah, that's different. But, you know, if it's somebody you're trying to get in the sack, yeah.
Yeah, like if I had a Smurf infestation, I'd call you over because I think you'd have fun. I have two golf clubs, so.
Oh, there you go. If I had, you know, I would allow you to come have fun with me because, you know, those things, you just see their heads pop off. It's awesome. You know, no beer needed. So it's funny, man. Well, dude, I really appreciate it, man. There's a lot of stuff in here that I think guys can get, not only about text messages, but just being able to live life and communicate in general. So I really appreciate you stopping by, man.
Oh, dude, it's my pleasure. And I always have fun talking with you. And you always have a lot of great advice to give. So it's fun getting on here together, I think. Giving out some advice that, you know, just like you said, that really helped people out. Because, you know, text messaging is the number one way people are communicating. So I think it's important guys get this handled so that they just have a happier life, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Well, Race, I appreciate it, man. And guys, if you want to get more of Race, you can basically check out the blog. We've got some links over there. You can check out his Before You Text Her product. And actually, if you want to check it out, you can go to bhlinks.com. I think it's bhlinks/text, and you can click over and go check it out. He's got a free report that all you got to do is just give up your email. I mean, he won't spam you or anything like that. So these guys are good dudes, and you can check it out, man. So again, I appreciate you stopping by, man. We'll get this thing handled for you. And guys, pick up his stuff. It's good, man.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Later, buddy.
Bye.